Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I give an honor to God and to your pastor and my friend, the Reverend Willow Rose Johnson, to the deacons and officers of Greenwood, to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to be here with you today. It only took me about 3 hours to come here from Harlem. And I'm just so glad that that we made it. And, you know, when I left Abyssinian, I found myself often in the balcony of 1 Corinthians. And there I would hear Reverend Willow preach about grace and about mercy. And it was funny because I don't think we ever saw each other after service, but you never really know who you bless in a sermon. And it's often the people that are way up in the balcony somewhere that you never see. And so I just want to thank her for her ministry and for all that she's doing for the gospel of Christ Jesus. Today I would like to preach from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 7 through 12. And it reads on this wise. This is the New International Version. I have become a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Savior, we are so grateful because you are good and your mercies endure forever. Now, God, we ask that you might saturate this place with your presence even more than you have before. We ask that you would give us ears to hear. Oh, God, we ask that you might quicken our hands and our feet. Most of all, oh, God, warm our heart that we might receive your word, that all of us might be changed. We need you, God. We need you, God. It's in the matchless name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. I think I have a working title, but I guess I'll tell you the title of the sermon afterward. You know, it's difficult to preach to people that you don't know. I've learned that, you know, traveling around trying to give sermons, it is very difficult to preach to people that you don't know. You can entertain people, and you can excite people, but it's very hard to preach to people that you don't know, because preaching is about asking difficult questions. Preaching is what determines how we live and who we serve. Preaching tells us to get up when we've fallen down. It helps us to dust ourselves off from all of our faults and our failings. Preaching tells us about a great and bright tomorrow, that one day what is up shall be brought down, what is crooked shall be made straight, that one day we shall be like Jesus. And it's hard to talk about those things when you don't know someone. It's hard to really go there with someone when you have no idea who they are. So as I thought about this sermon today, I tried to think about you. What is and who is Greenwood Church? Why do you live so far away? And why have you taken Willa out of Harlem? But for me, this question starts in, who do you love? What do you love? To know someone, the quickest way is to find out what they love. Is it things and titles and money? But you've asked me to come talk about Martin King. So I gotta believe that you love something more than that. You love justice. Not criminal justice, but God's justice. Let justice roll down like water, and righteousness an ever-flowing stream. Not the justice system, God's justice. Not right and wrong, but justice. Be careful of people who try to talk to you about right and wrong. Right and wrong is a moral issue. Right and wrong is determined by those who are rich and powerful. Right and wrong changes all the time. And it's a shame that the church has become the chief enforcer of right and wrong. The church has become the moral policeman of the rules and regulations of the rich and powerful. But God has nothing to do with right and wrong. There was a time when it was right to whip and hang black bodies. It was right to send black children to schools with no books and no food. So we can't talk about what's right. It may be right to charge a 15-year-old girl who has been raped with murder. It may be right that your boss makes 5 times more money than you. It may be right that supermarkets and coffee shops are now all over Bed-Stuy and East New York. It may be right that 400 people make all the money in the world. It may be right, but it's not just. Justice is not about equality. Justice is about equity. Justice is about equity. Martin King fought the battle for equality, separate but equal, huh? We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men and women are created what? Equal. That battle was fought. But now our battle is about equity, not about equality. Justice now is about equity. Don't give me anything. Just open the door and I'll get it myself. Equity. Poor people have been suffering in this country because we are too concerned about equality and not concerned enough about equity. Our fight now is a fight for equity. Justice asks, who benefits from the tax code? Who owns the building I live in? Justice asks, who owns the supermarket and the food I buy? Who owns the clothes I wear? Who owns the restaurant I go to? And there can be no justice if there is no ownership. I know that we want to talk about Martin King as the patron saint of pacifism. We've made Martin King the demagogue of turn the other cheek. And I know that sometimes when we talk about King, we want to just hold hands and sing, "We Shall Overcome." But there can be no talk about Martin King without talking about justice. And there can be no talk about justice without talking about ownership. When people have been as wronged as black people in this country, the right and proper response is to give black people ownership. It happened in Israel, Europe did it, South Africa do it, and we can do it. Ownership. Justice looks like affirmative action. Yes. That word they're trying to erase from the laws now, justice looks like that. It looks like free education for life. Not 40 acres, 100 acres. Justice is carving up a piece of the American economy and giving it to black people. They did it for Native Americans, they can do it for us. But they won't do anything, will they? That's the thing. We've been waiting on they to do something for 400 years. God's people must balance this fine line between waiting on God and doing for yourself. One of the most difficult things as a Christian is walking the line between waiting on God and doing for yourself. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But faith without work is dead. The Lord will fight my battles. But what did you do with the talent I gave you? You can vote in every election. You can pray and sing hymns. But the people who own everything will still own everything. We have to demand what belongs to us. This land is my land, huh? This land is your land. From California to the New York Island, this land is ours too. Don't let people talk about take our country back. This land is ours too. We have to work and figure out how to get ownership. That's the talk now. Talk about Dr. King, you must talk about ownership. What does it look like to live the block, to own the block you live on? How do you own the school your children go to? How do you own the hospital where your doctor works? Own the store where you buy food. Justice must be taken. They won't give you anything. The second question to get to know you is, what do you hope for? What are your hope? What are your dreams? Not individually. What is the connecting tissue here in this church? What are your hope? You are doing something special here, but you're doing it intentionally. Intentionally diverse. Open. Intentionally affirming. Your hope is that what you are doing here will somehow reflect onto the world out there. Black and white people, gay and straight, different backgrounds, different cultures, living together, working together, praying together. Our hope is that the world will assemble more and more of God's kingdom. Diversity, though, is hard. Huh? It's hard enough for black people to get along. They're diverse enough, trust me. Let alone black and white people. Why did you choose this? They say there are more churches in Brooklyn than people. So you are doing this intentionally. Your hope is that somehow or another, the choice that you're making here, other people will make it out there. You didn't join this place by accident. I used to help pastor a large black church. I know a whole lot about accidental members. You know, people who joined the church by accident. The preacher sounded good. The choir sounded good. I didn't really know what I was signing up for. I just got up. But not here. This is not an accident. You made this decision on purpose. Can I raise my black children with white people? What does it look like to go to church with people who seemingly I have nothing in common with? You've asked yourself some hard questions. Your membership here is intentional. And God be praised. Everything else is segregated. Schools, neighborhoods, hospitals, segregated. The least we can do is try to get Sunday morning together. But how do you integrate without one side losing itself? Huh? I live in Riverdale. It's a small section in the Bronx, and it's highly segregated. It looks great from the outside. Clean streets and dog park, coffee shop, it looks fantastic. But on the inside, there are no restaurants where I can eat. There's no Jamaican food there, bro. There are no people who look like me on the Residents Association. Integration looks great from the outside. But inside, the people who are being integrated often lose everything they came with. Black people are poorer, less represented, and more vulnerable than we have ever been because of integration. Integration without equity. But here there is a different spirit. Here you guys are trying to figure it out. How do you live together and work together and struggle together without losing yourself? You don't require that someone abandons themselves in order to be accepted here. In fact, I believe that you require that each person brings their full self. Your divinity is measured by your authenticity. We wrongly believe that God wants all of us to fit into the same mold, to read the same script, but Jesus did not die for you to be like everyone else. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have a chance to teach the world more than just about the Bible. You have a chance to teach the world more than just about scriptures. I know that Brooklyn loves these outdoor revivals in the summertime. And churches love to go out and rent a tent. I think they do this in Queens too. And they have these tents outside and they preach the gospel. You guys need to do a revival, but not preach. You guys need to do a revival and talk about diversity and talk about difference and talk about how do you do that. How do you do that without people losing themselves? You have something more to preach than just the cliches that people are used to. I believe there are enough sermons in the world. I'm not even sure if we need any more sermons, but there is something special here. There is something unique here. Not Willa's sermon. But there is something special that you are doing here. That is the sermon. That is the message. How do you integrate with equity? When politicians come here, don't just ask them if they're Christian. Ask them how many office members do they have who look like this church. When contractors come and want to redo this building, don't ask them if they're Christian. Don't stop there. Ask them how many women are in leadership positions. How many black people own a piece of this company? Integration with equity. You must make your hope a reality. This hope that we have that one day the world will look like this place, you must make it so. They will not do anything. Something tells me that the work that you have to do here is to take this spirit beyond these walls. Let God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Would to God that the world could be as integrated, with equity. And finally, for me to know you, I had to ask myself, who is God for you? This is not your grandmother's religion. I feel that you can inherit faith. And inherited faith gets you a long way. Those prayers that you learn in Sunday school, they carry you real far. God is good. God is great. Our Father who art in heaven, the Lord is my shepherd. Those prayers get you a long way. But this place doesn't feel like that. This is not inherited faith. Martin King inherited his faith from his father and his grandfather. But at some point, he had to come to know God for himself. You guys have left inherited faith a long time ago. You're here because you know God. You don't know all the cliches about God. You may not know all the songs about God. You may not know all the hymns, but something happened to you, and you met God somewhere. You met God in a hospital room. You met God on some dark alley somewhere. You met God when God answered your prayers, and you thought it was impossible. That each of you, I feel, met God somewhere. That's why you're here, and we are tempted in this world to exchange the God we know for the God of popular religion. I don't know about that feel-good TV God. I don't know about that God. The God I know is with me in difficult situations. The God I know is the lifter of my head when the weight of the world tries to bend me down. The God I know is the one who carries me from morning unto morning. The God I know is the one who has kept me year after year. You know God. And your task is to not forget the God you know. No matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how tempting it may be, hold on to the God you know. Don't compromise the God you know to get more members. Don't compromise the God you know to become a bigger church. Don't compromise the God you know to sound like everyone else. Hold fast to the God who has brought you this far. Because there is something special and unique and different and purposeful about the God you know. The God Martin King preached was not the same God of the KKK. The Christian Knights of the Ku Klux Klan did not preach the same God as Martin King. You know a different God. And the world we live in now is trying to make gods out of everything. It's trying to make technology a God. It's trying to make longevity a God. It's trying to make beauty a God. It's trying to make celebrity a God. But the God you know is the one who keeps you in the midnight hour. The God you know is the one who has kept you when no one else was there for you. And you must hold on to that God and go out in the world and serve that God. To serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. I don't know what your future holds, but I believe I know a little bit more about you now. Lovers of justice, huh? Hoping for a day when what is in here will be out there, and trusting that the God who has kept you up till now will never leave you nor forsake you. The God who has brought you this far is still holding your hand until tomorrow comes. My brothers and sisters, we don't need to talk about Dr. King the same way we've been talking about Dr. King for 51 years. We've heard that already. We now need to go out into the world and say, this is the acceptable year for our Lord. That this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year that we are going to free the incarcerated people. Those who are incarcerated off an industry that is now worth over $50 billion. We are going to free those black men and black women. We are going to declare God's liberty and freedom in the world. Because there is a sweet spirit here. And our job, huh? Our task is to take this spirit beyond these walls. That those walls of segregation, those walls of injustice, those walls of poverty, those walls of inequality, those walls of sexism and homophobia, those walls might come crumbling down. Why? Because you're doing it here. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.